Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing today? That's good. Apart from struggling to breathe outside, it's all good, right? So, this date has been on the calendar, my calendar, for a while. And between me and Terrell and Corey, we try and get me up here like once every 8 weeks. You know, summer, yeah, maybe once every 4 months. It's busy. But I've been thinking about this sermon for a while. And then when last week when Corey got up here and was talking about Psalm 46, you know, be still and know that I am God. That had been on my heart for a while. And I really encourage you, if you haven't listened to that sermon, to go and listen to it. He also looked at Hebrews, specifically chapter 3, verse 7 to 4, verse 13. And it's a really interesting passage on rest and what it is to rest and what it means to rest. And this week specifically, been thinking about the sermon from last week and trying to be in that state of dwelling in that place of rest. And finding God in the midst of the busyness of life and our individual trials and the day-to-day tasks that sometimes just seem so mundane but take up so much of your time. So during my musings and ponderings and just, you know, the quiet times and the readings and the conversations, how difficult is it to find that rest? You know, our lives are so busy and so full. In the beginning, you have to make a conscious decision to sit and be still. There's so much happening. You know, like there's technology, there's school starting, there's the day-to-day life. Oh, I got to get milk. I want coffee to do my rest. You know, rest doesn't happen in our house without coffee. So I need to go to the shops to get milk so I can rest and have my coffee. And just like it's a bit like it's a bit like trying to find my kids find something without really trying. It's right there. Are you looking for it? Yeah, I looked everywhere. No, but I can see it. But where? Where is it? You know? And I see some of the wives looking at their husbands. That's very similar, right? Is anything truly lost until your wife can't find it? You know? Or if you can't find it, ask your wife. And if she can't find it, it's truly lost. But it's really difficult, surprisingly, to enter into those places of rest in the beginning. And I believe that as we go into Corey's series now of finding the presence of God, it's a practice thing. It takes time to get into those places. And so this week, I was led to another verse, and it stuck with me the whole week. The verse is Hebrews 11, verse 1. And some would call it the very definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in the NIV, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So at first glance, that's quite a poetic verse. You're like, oh, that sounds nice. You know, like faith is confidence in what we hope for. It's assurance about what we do not see. Depending on the translation, there's different words in there. But what does that mean? You know, if you look at it, how can something not seen be evidence? You know, generally the definition of evidence is like, here's the evidence. It's something physical. It's something tangible that's presented. So how can something not seen be evidence? And how can something hoped for be substance? You know, hope is a out there kind of word. Is hope tangible? Yes, it gives you a feeling, but how does it have substance? How can a concept be a physical, tangible thing? And so Hebrews 11 is all about faith. Some scholars call it the hall of faith. When you read Hebrews 11, the whole chapter, it lists heroes, biblical beings who had faith, who believed God when the evidence wasn't visible. Noah built an ark on dry land. You know, he was miles from a water source big enough to float that monstrosity of wood. Abraham left his homeland, but where was he going, right? Moses forsaking Egypt's riches as a prince and going to live in the wilderness. Each one acted because faith convinced them that God's promise was real even when they couldn't see it. Their faith made them do whatever the thing it was that they were doing. So I want to break that little verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1, into three different parts, three different points. So firstly, faith is assurance. So when we go back and look at the first half of that verse, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. The King James Version says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when you go back and look at the original Greek word there, the Greek word is hypostasis, right? And that is the Greek word for substance. The definition and the meaning of that Greek word when you look at its scope is foundation, confidence, guarantee. So when we look at faith as a substance, a hypostasis, so it is a foundation, it is a confidence, it is a guarantee of things hoped for. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is the grounding, the foundation, and the confidence of our hope in Jesus Christ. So think of it this way. When you buy land, you get given a title deed, right? Whether it's a house, whether it's ground, whether it's whatever, a property, you get given a title deed. That title deed proves the land belongs to you. It's got your name on it, it's registered, blah, blah, blah. Even before you physically step onto that land, right? Most of the time, you can only take possession of the land once you have the title deed. So that title deed is your foundation for your land. It is the substance that allows you to be the owner of that land. When we look at it like that, in that sort of context, God's word is our title deed. That is our foundation. Faith holds on to the promise as real even before we see it as fulfilled. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Romans 4, verse 20 to 21 tells us that Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So God had told Abraham, go, I will take you to the promised land. Did he know at that point in time where the promised land was? No. But Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And so Abraham went. Where was he going? I don't know. You know, he didn't know. He just knew that he was going to a promised land. He knew that God's promise, he believed that, he was fully convinced, as the scripture says, in what God had promised. So he up and left. He left his home. He took everything, all his people, to go to this promise. And that is faith, taking God at his word and treating it as substance. God gave Abraham a title deed. He said, here, this is your title deed. Here is your promised land. And Abraham took that as substance and walked in faith. So that brings me to the second point. Faith is conviction. The last half of Hebrews 11 verse 1 says the evidence of things not seen. Usually, to be fully convinced of something, to have a strong conviction, us as human beings, we require, someone's explained it to us a while, we've seen it in person, touched it, we've been there. Like, to have a really strong conviction, we as humans desire all these things to be in place, then I can be convinced. Is it smoky outside? Yeah, I woke up this morning, hadn't looked outside yet. It smells a bit smoky. Am I fully convinced and convicted it's smoky outside? Maybe not so much yet. Open the door because the kids were in the hot tub already. It's really smoky outside. Okay, now I'm further convinced, right? Go and stand outside there for 5 minutes. It's very smoky outside. I am fully convinced and convicted that there is lots of smoke in the air. It's not fog or mist. It's smoke. It's a process of getting to that point. So that second half of the verse, the evidence of things not seen. And when we go and look again at that Greek origin of the word, evidence is elenkos or elenchos. I'm not sure how you would correctly pronounce that, but it means proof or conviction. So our faith acts as an inner certainty of those unseen realities. So if we put the evidence and meaning of proof or conviction into that, so the second half of the verse, the evidence of things not seen, the proof of things not seen, conviction of things not seen. So faith is providing that conviction, the evidence of what's to come. Most of us know what Wi-Fi is, right? Let's try and give you a practical example. Can you see Wi-Fi? No, I think we'd be very, very, very upset if we saw Wi-Fi, because basically everything would be Wi-Fi. There's Wi-Fi there in that house, that house, that house, that house. The church has Wi-Fi. You know, like if we could see Wi-Fi, I think we'd be amazed at how busy everything would look. But so you can't see Wi-Fi. But you know it's real because our phones connect to it. You know, businesses run on Wi-Fi. So just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. It's there. It's working. It's happening. Faith is like that. It connects us to the unseen power of God. Faith acts like Wi-Fi. It's there. It's our connection. Right? We can't see it. You can measure it, but what am I measuring? I don't know. I can't see it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. You trust when you go home that your phone is just going to connect to your Wi-Fi. You're walking by faith and not by sight. You can't see that your Wi-Fi is on, your phone is working, it's connected. You are just having faith that when you get home, it's going to connect, it's going to work. Same as when we come to church sometimes, you know, or you go to a restaurant or you go to your place of work. You just trust that the Wi-Fi is working. Can't see it, but my phone's connected. I know it's there. I know it's working. Jesus said in John 20, verse 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Right? Us as humans, we require usually so much physical evidence, things that are tangible to us, things that we can see, things that we can measure in order for us to believe. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, faith doesn't deny the reality of hardships and sickness or trial. Just this week alone, we've had a friend broke an arm. We had another friend have a heart attack and get flown out. Like, life happens, right? But it believes in a greater reality. Faith believes in God who heals and provides and saves. There is a hope that is attached to faith. We don't just have blind faith. Okay? Those previous verses, we walk by faith and not by sight. But it is not blind. Our faith is based on the person of who Jesus is. And so I want to show you a little clip now. It's taken from, those of you who've watched The Chosen, it's a little excerpt from The Chosen. So yes, there's some film school, gratuities and things like that. But I want you to think about the context of faith and believing without having seen any evidence. So we'll watch that quickly. If it works, we had some difficulties.
Lord. My servant boy is lying paralyzed at home. He has been sick for so long, and now he is suffering terribly, near death.
Take me to him.
Lord, you call him Lord? I am not worthy to have you come into my home, and I know you would not be comfortable as a Jew in a Roman's home. But you only need to say the word, and he will be healed.
Not worthy.
The truth about the child, he's actually my son. I am so ashamed, I shouldn't even be asking you, but I am. And I know you can do it.
Master, I never thought I'd say this, but he is worthy to have you do this for him. He loves our people. He's helped us. I know.
Do not trouble yourself. You can heal him from a distance with only a word of command. I also have authority with men under me. If I say to one, go, he goes. If I say to another, come, he comes. Anything you command in this world will happen. I know it. Even this.
Stand up.
What?
Rise. Did you all hear this, man? Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I was rejected in my own hometown, and I'm threatened by the religious leaders of my own people. And yet this man, a Gentile, has more bold confidence in what he believes that I can do than anyone I have yet encountered. Been done for you according to your belief. Thank you. Thank you. You have brightened my day to encounter this kind of faith.
So there we have a pretty vivid account of faith. We had someone who was not a believer, not a follower of Jesus Christ, believe and have faith that Jesus could heal his son. Not by touching him, just by saying the word. And so that brings me to the last point about this verse. Faith produces action. If you believe strongly in something, you will usually go about defending it or doing things that allow you to justify that belief. Hebrews 11 doesn't just define faith, it shows that faith in action. When you go on to read the rest of that chapter, there are multiple examples of people having faith and acting on it. So, to give you a few examples from that verse, Noah built an ark when rain had never been seen. They didn't have what is rain? It hadn't rained on earth yet. You know, at night there was heavy dew and there was water and underground rivers. What's a boat that's like, wow, you know? He built an ark having never seen rain. Abraham obeyed God without knowing where he was going. He knew the destination, but he didn't have a place for it. Moses gave up the riches of Egypt as a prince to heed God's call and to follow him. Faith is never passive. James chapter 2 verse 17 reminds us that faith without works is dead. And to give a practical example of that, how many of you came in here and sat in your chair this morning? All of us. Did any of you check the screws that hold your chair together? Did any of you check that? Oh, this chair, I'm going to just, let me just, is this chair actually a chair? Yeah, okay, no, it's stable. Okay, yeah, no, it's all together. That's faith. You had faith that the stool was going to do what it was meant to do, and you just sat down. You simply sat because you believed it would hold you up. Faith that never acts isn't faith at all. If I were to say, oh, I believe that chair holds me up, but yeah, I don't trust it, I'm not going to sit in it. That's not faith, right? Faith is a doing word. It requires, well, I know what the I have faith that the chair is going to hold me up. I'm going to sit. You know, I'm not going to check it out or whatever. I am just going to do what I believe. True faith shows up in obedience, in perseverance, in choices that often look foolish to the world, but that make sense to God. You look at examples of spiritual leaders. They might have been amazing businessmen. They had an encounter with God. The world looks at them and they're like, you're doing what? You're giving up all of this for, you're going to do what? You're going to become a traveling pastor? Like, okay, but that's faith. It's obedience and perseverance in things that might look foolish to the world, but make sense to God. So how do we live this out? How do we put Hebrews chapter 11, that faith, into action? How do we do it? So first of all, faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is grounded and based in God's word. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is God's word. It's not just wishful thinking. Faith is not passive. It requires us to step out into God's word. It requires us to take risks, obeying God even when the outcome is sometimes unseen or unknown. Faith is not blind. It rests on God's proven character. Has God ever failed? The quick answer to that is no. You know, we shouldn't have to think about that answer. God cannot lie. And finally, and probably the most important point, is faith is relational. It's not confidence in a principle, but it's confidence in a person. It's not confidence in a thought, it's confidence in an entity. Faith trusts someone, and that someone is our covenant-keeping God. Going back to Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God doesn't lie. He doesn't fail. He has never let us down. From the beginning of time, he has a plan for us. He has put things in place. So faith, to me, is the bridge between God's promises for us and our present realities. So going back to my example of the title deed, is the title deed to what we cannot yet see. Our faith has given us ownership of those promises that are coming. It's like eyesight of the soul allowing us to see into eternity while standing here in time, right? It gives us that perspective, that hope for what is to come. When you go on to look at chapter 11, a lot of the people that it talks about there never experienced their promise. And yet they did do what they were asked to do. God promised them something and they walked in faith into that. They acted on it and they never saw the end result of that promise. But they believed, they did, and they went. And so, a question I want to ask you today is, are you living by sight in what you see, in what you see here at church, in what you see other Christians doing? Or are you living by faith? What promises of God do you need to hold on to as substance and evidence in your life so that you can live by faith and not by what you see? And these are difficult questions because I've been thinking of this now for a few weeks, right? But what promises am I holding on to that give me the faith to carry on? And I was reminded again when I asked myself that question earlier in the week. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I am holding on to the word of God. I am holding on to what he has said to me. Faith is relational. It's not confidence in a principle, but it's confidence in a person that has made promises that he has never broken. That he has time and time again proven to be true. And for each of us, we have promises in our life that we know God has brought to fruition. He has never failed us. And at the same time, there are promises that are still coming. And we believe in those and we hold on to them. The last scripture I want to read is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And so it says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The NIV says, that is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard that I have entrusted to him until that day. There is again a statement of faith. I know whom I believe. It's not that I know what I believe. My belief is in a person. My belief is in the person of God. And I am convinced that he is able to guard all that I have entrusted to him until that day. And so as you go into a new week, technically week starts here on a Monday. As you go into a new week, are you living by sight or are you living in faith? Are you trusting in the promises of a God who has never failed? Or are you holding on to what you can see? The brokenness of the world around you, maybe the heartbreak, there's something personal to you that has been seen by you. Is it a promise of God? And so, I want to leave you with a challenge. Live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith and not by sight. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Going back to the testimony of Gaius there, prayer to Gaius. He was extremely high up. And yet, his faith was incredible in that moment. Rome was kind of ambiguous in their belief of Jesus, who he was. The Jews wanted him dead pretty much already. And here was a extremely powerful man seeking Jesus out and saying, I believe you have the power to do this. I have faith in what you are capable of. Please say the word. Don't even come. Just stand where you are and say the word. Is that the type of faith that we have? Or do we need to see? And so I challenge you, have the faith of an unbeliever as demonstrated in that little clip and in the passage in the Bible. And so Father, as we close here, as we carry on with our lives, as we move into the busyness and the mundane, Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. To know that faith is relational. It is based on you. Our faith is trusting in you, Father, who has never failed, who has never lied, who has never let down a single one of his people. Thank you, Lord, that the faith is a promise. That is your promise to us, allowing us to see the eternity that you have set for us while being in this present time. And so, Father, watch over us and keep us. Open the eyes of our souls to see the faith around us, Lord, to act in faith. Amen. And so as you go out into the week, be encouraged, but at the same time be challenged, because reading Hebrews chapter 11 there are some big asks that were God asked of those people, and they did it without question. I don't know if I could do what Noah did, build a, you know, I can't remember exactly how big the ark is, but anyway, go to the Manning soccer fields, you know, we are miles from the ocean, and start building an ark, you know, like, would I be able to do that? I don't know. So there are some thoughtful things in there, but we walk by faith and not by sight. And our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We trust in an entity. We believe in a person. It's not an idea. It's not a principle. It's a physical person that has proven himself over and over again. So I know that I have the faith to act in that. And I encourage you to get to the point where you can decisively and definitively say, like Gaius, Father, do it, your word, to have that sort of faith. So if you would need prayer or anything, please feel free to stay behind. Encourage you to fellowship. There's 35 minutes left of church. I know all of you were banking on being here to 12. So fellowship, share with each other, and we will see you all next week.